broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that others refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, with the goal always, as you know, to preserve the nation. Scott Bradley will be with us in seconds, freedomsrisingsun.com. Our goal, ladies and gentlemen, is to use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Hope everyone's beginning their new work week in a delightful way, and that it's successful and pleasant for everybody. So glad to be here.
All right, two topics I want to discuss today. Obviously, we'll go far afield from those topics, as we always do. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about this headline. Ammo Inc., that's a company in Scottsdale, Arizona, announced that it will send 1 million bullets free of charge to the Ukraine, ladies and gentlemen. It's hard to know what to think about this because, hey, I guess a private company can do whatever they want to. But in America, isn't it interesting how ammo over the last many, many years has been very hard to get a hold of? The government can get a hold of ammo, but the rest of us struggle. It's really expensive. There's shortages everywhere. But yet they got 1 million rounds just to, on a whim, send to the Ukraine, ladies and gentlemen, picking sides in an unjust war. This is disaster, Dr. Bradley. Now, I know a free company should be able to do what they want to some degree, but this is all manipulated by government propaganda in bed with media propaganda. We're fueling an unjust war, sir.
Well, it's not like it's never happened before. I mean, I'm not justifying
point.
It.
I'm of course.
I'm not justifying it. But you think about this for a moment or two. I mean, think about the Abraham Lincoln Brigade that went to Spain in the 1930s to fight on the communist of the on the side of the communists, attempting to overthrow the government of Spain. Now, of course, that Spain Civil War was a warm up to World War II. The fascists on one side and the communists on the other, and everybody got to test out their new tanks and everything else like that. But the United States, individuals volunteered as the Abraham Lincoln Brigade and went over there and fought on the side of the communists. And if you look back at the Lusitania, back in 1915, so we're talking 107 years ago, the Lusitania was a passenger, basically a ship. It was like one of these cruise ships, kind of like you see advertised all over now, trying to gain a toehold after the big shutdown. At any rate, there were ammunition included in the manifest, which is absolutely against international law to put that on a passenger ship. The Germans knew about it. The Germans said, hey, people, don't go on that. This is a target for their sea boats, their U-boats. Anyway, it was a flagrant attempt to bring the United States into the World War I on the side of France and England, and the story is absolutely criminal what absolutely happened. Anyway, there's examples we could give where things like this have happened, and you bring up a very good point. The ammunition has been extremely scarce. I have a small ammunition company that, I mean, I don't create it, but I, you know, basically distribute it, and I got a call here a while back from some people that wanted to buy a substantial amount of ammunition. So I looked at my price sheet. I thought, I'm a little bit out of date. So I called the manufacturer and I said, you know, I'd like an updated sheet. They said, sure, we'll send that to you. But if you ordered today, the soonest we could get you ammunition is 1 year. So I'm a small potatoes kind of guy. I mean, just had, you know, to them it would have been nothing. But I do have some contacts up in the Pacific Northwest where they are manufacturing a large amount of ammunition, and there's no way in the world they claim they're able to keep up with it. So the demand on it. So this is interesting. And by the way, the size of the shipment out of Arizona is not far away from what was on the Lusitania in terms of the round count. So, yeah, this is absolutely astounding. Now, we could easily take this off into a discussion about the Ukrainian war and the complexities of that and how, you know, you can almost assure yourself. I mean, if they have a press conference anywhere in the federal government, you know it's a pack of lies. I mean, that's about where I've gotten to in the credibility. If there's anything comes out about a, you know, a health mandate or whatever, you know it's a pack of lies. You know, it's so-called vaccines, safe and effective, all those kinds of things. No credibility. FDA, CDC, National Institute of Health, World Health Organization, all of those things, zero credibility. So when we have an announcement, it's not an announcement. Again, it's an agenda. It's not an agenda. It's not a storyline. It is a script. It is a script that is being played out. In fact, in Utah, I don't know if you'd noticed this, Sam, but the governor of the state of Utah has been flying the Ukrainian flag over the state capitol. And it's like,
yeah, what, and shame on him for doing it, too.
Absolutely. I mean, he has a knack for doing the wrong thing. I mean, he's going to veto a bill. We can take all these on a lot of tangents. He's going to veto a bill that prevents boys from competing against girls in high school sports. And he has a knack for doing the wrong thing. He creates mandates, enforces law that have never been created and unconstitutional, elicits punishments. You know, judge, jury, and hangman as a governor, which is the very definition of tyranny, as Madison said in Federalist 47. I mean, thing after thing, educational things. It's just a knack. Our governor, really, you say, whose side are you on? But at any rate, so the script that is being used right now is Ukraine good, Russia bad. It's much more complex than that. And just think I'm going to just touch on one very, very brief aspect of it. We can discuss it at length if you want, but I don't want to, you know, derail your whole program. But think for a moment back. Well, most people don't even know about the Monroe Doctrine anymore. But basically, one aspect of that was what the foreign powers were setting up bastions, forts, arsenals, whatever you want to call them, that could ultimately and finally be used against the United States in our surrounding territories, not U.S. territories even, but foreign nations. And if foreign powers from Europe were going to come over there and set up a bristling arsenal of arms and ammunition and military personnel and so on and so forth, these guys, you know, like James Madison and James Monroe and John Quincy Adams, that put together the Monroe Doctrine, said, no, we reserve the right to defend and protect against that kind of stuff. Okay, now there's more to it than just that I just explained. But the Monroe Doctrine was something that's been around. I mean, we're talking a couple hundred years, okay? And so here we have NATO encroaching from the West closer and closer to the Russian border. You notice that, you know, you bring Poland in. I mean, all the border states that have joined the NATO thing and the NATO alliance, Article 5, states that if any one of these countries ever gets into trouble with anybody else, the whole NATO alliance brings their full force of military influence and everything else like that against the person that they bumped into. And so here we have the United States keeps saying, oh, no, Ukraine's not in. Well, they've been trying for years to get Ukraine into NATO, but it hasn't happened, fortunately, because we would be at war with Russia right this very instant if that were the case. And I've said many times, I think that Russia is playing a chess game here, saying, look, this is one aspect of it, not the fullness of it, but one aspect of it is the idea that if Ukraine will agree to maintain its neutrality and not become a military armed camp facing Russia and its border, and agreed not to pursue that, I think he'd go home. Now, there's not quite that simple, because there's been a lot of depredations against ethnic Russians, a genocidal kind of thing that's been going on for years and years there, too, by the Ukrainian government. The Ukrainian government is a bunch of oligarchs that are no more full. Well, in fact, I almost feel like Putin's got greater integrity than they do for a lot of reasons. But just this aspect of the Monroe Doctrine, if you think what we have done, we have sent military forces, personnel, equipment, I mean, you know, tanks, artillery. We've sent F-35 jets to patrol the skies just west of the Russian border. We're zooming back and forth. The zoomies are there every day. And the chance of bumping into somebody over there has increased dramatically, which, if they bumped into somebody from the NATO alliance, automatically we are now committed, unconstitutionally, I might add, to go to war with whoever bumped into them. And so what we've done is we've set up an armed camp against Russia on its western border. And according to our very own doctrine, that ain't good. And Russia's responding the way James Monroe would have.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about the Monroe Doctrine. 1823 came out. James Monroe brought it to Congress. Let's talk about the history a little bit. Let's talk about the summary and the significance thereof. We'll do it in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley with me, his collegiate series and mission in life to match, if you will, to preserve the nation. Where do you learn more? FreedomsRisingSun.com. Not only can you learn more about his collegiate series, you can also get weekly webinars, Q&As on the Constitution, and on how we ought to return there too, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Ammo Inc. in Scottsdale, Arizona, literally announced it'll send 1 million rounds of ammunition to Ukraine free of charge. Wow, how come we can't get ammunition in America for the average American? Very interesting manipulation of reality everywhere you look, ladies and gentlemen. The Monroe Doctrine is really critical in this discussion about the Ukraine and Russia. All right, let's give a kind of a history and a summary of the Monroe Doctrine, and then we can talk about a little bit more about the significance with Dr. Scott Bradley. The history is, hey, in 1823, James Monroe brought this forward. And the idea of the Monroe Doctrine, I'm just going to summarize it, so don't beat me up too bad, ladies and gentlemen, if I don't have every tenet of it perfect, but here it is. Hey, we're going to, based on hemisphere, we're going to say we're not going to manipulate or tolerate any advancement of any principles that take over nations or compromise nations in their free autonomy, their sovereignty in the Western Hemisphere. We're not going to allow that because that eventually can affect America in a very negative way. Furthermore, we're not going to cross that hemispheric reality either, and we're not going to meddle in the foreign affairs of other sovereign nations in the other hemisphere. In short, we're going to protect our own interests, even though it may not be the United States specifically being invaded, but we're not going to allow advancements in this reality. Now, violations of that reality is Cuba, for instance. What the heck? We got a communist nation flat out 90 miles off our shore, backed by what? The opposite hemispheric interests, big time. We got all kinds of this scenario going on in other countries. I could name dozens. But now we're literally interfering directly in Russian-Ukraine discussions. All this is a violation of the Monroe attempts or doctrine or understanding. That's kind of the history and a little bit of a summary. What have I left out that's super critical, Scott?
Well, I don't know. I mean, here, I'll just give you a little quotation out of the Monroe Doctrine again. It was James Monroe, James Madison, and John Quincy Adams were the principal authors of it. Here's a statement out of it. In the wars of European powers, in matters relating to themselves, we have never taken any part, nor does it comport with our policy so to do. Our policy in regard to Europe is not to interfere with the internal concerns of any of its powers. Okay, so as you point out, that's a couple hundred years old. Not long before that, John Quincy Adams, again, son of John Adams, brilliant man, raised by brilliant parents, became president of the United States and then congressman until the end of his life. At any rate, he has said, and this was in 1821, he says, America has abstained from interference in the concerns of others, even when the conflict has been for principles to which she clings. She goes not abroad in search of monsters to destroy. She is the well-wisher to the freedom and independence of all. She is the champion and vindicator only of her own. Okay, so this has been the philosophy, and we can prove this. I mean, George Washington's inaugural addresses, we have Thomas Jefferson, we have James Madison, we have James Monroe. We have these brilliant icons of the founding era that talked about this idea of no entangling alliances. Now, we can also say that, there was a broader thing than that. St. George Tucker, for example, spoke eloquently against them. And we largely lived up to that until Woodrow Wilson came along with his globalist ideas and Edward Mandel House, who was his alter ego and basically the globalist in-house, Edward Mandel House. Anyway, so their efforts were to merge the United States into a global government. They sent a team in 1916 to Europe to help put together, frame together a what would ultimately be a treaty that would incorporate the League of Nations. You know, treaties supposedly change constitutions. They can't. We can address that at length. But the League of Nations was to subvert the United States Constitution and the United States into a global government. So anyway, all of these things had happened, and it was rejected by the Senate. And along comes World War II, another run at global government, you know, with the fascists coming into power in the 1920s in Italy and then later on in Germany in 1930s and then 1940s. And they started calling themselves early in the 1940s the United Nations. The Allies called themselves the United Nations against the Axis powers. So afterwards comes 1945. Two communists were the principal, lead negotiators. One was Alger Hiss, who was United States State Department. And him and a Russian became the chair of the committee that put the United Nations together. The United Nations Charter directs regional arrangements be put together.
It really mandates.
A regional arrangement basically says, hey, look, you can organize into military arrangements, you can organize into economic arrangements like the European Union or like NATO, but every single thing that is done has to be for the purposes and with the approval of the United Nations. So in 1949, April, I believe it was, the United Nations regional arrangement called NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, came into effect. It became a military arm of the United Nations. And so it, you know, it had an initial group in it, and we could go over those if you want. But very foolishly, we've actually expanded that in recent years to, for example, in 1999, the Senate approved Czech Republic, Hungary, and Poland, which were former Soviet Union satellites, if you will. And now they've become a NATO regional arrangement of the United Nations with their bayonets pointed towards Russia. Then, this is completely bizarre, in 2003, well, voted 96-0. They put Latvia, Estonia, Slovakia, Lithuania, Slovenia, Bulgaria, and Romania into it, all former Soviet Union allies. And then in 2009, Albania and Croatia. Do you get a pattern here going, people? In 2017.
Yeah, we've become the massive hegemonous aggressor. That's what I get.
A NATO now, the regional arrangement of the United Nations, it's a military arm that virtually none of the wars that have been going on in my lifetime have not had a regional arrangement involved. Montenegro was invited in and approved in June of 2017. By the way, you say, oh, well, it's all a mutual defense kind of thing. So if we get attacked, they'll come and help us. Montenegro, go look this up, check it out, has a total potential military force of about 5,000. That's including the reserves as well as the active duty people. Okay, North Macedonia was brought in March of 2020. They probably have about an 18,000 or 19,000 total potential. They're going to be a bunch of help if we ever need them. Trust me. So anyway, that's what it is. We are the loaded gun, the pointed bayonet, the F-35 jets. We are becoming the Iron Dome, if you will, over all the world.
The belligerent, hegemonous nation that has turned its back on the Monroe Doctrine and has now embraced these, I would say, mandates via the United Nations and NATO, etc. We have absolutely become the belligerent aggressor. And payback will not be fun, ladies and gentlemen. This will not go well long term, Dr. Bradley.
No. In fact, currently, the former, let's call it Soviet satellites, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Georgia, Ukraine. You think about what the Bosnian conflict was, where we went in there and bombed the blazes out of cities and everything else like that back in the 90s. People, this is happening. With the United States being the pointed bayonet against all these things, Ukraine's been trying to join NATO for 15 years. They've got a membership action plan. We've seen that in action, Sam, when we were back there. And we're, you know, kind of getting a cook's tour, if you will, of some of the things that were going on in our capital city. But the point of the matter is that Russia is seeing this, where all of these right up, bumping up against their front door, if you will, of these nations have become aligned militarily with the organization that was ostensibly formed to fight a war against Russia. And so if we've got tanks and artillery and aircraft and personnel amassed against their border, what would we do? What if Canada or Mexico allowed China or Russia or whomever to come in and build border forts, if you will, air bases, military fields, do military operations against our border, knowing that we're the target of that? How tense would we be? I hope we'd be more tense. I don't know Biden would be. I'm not sure he understands any of this.
Well, shame on the direction we're taking, ladies and gentlemen. Read your supreme law of the land and understand Congress is in charge of this realm. Understand the Monroe Doctrine was brilliant. The history summary and significance is not lost on us, but we betrayed it. We've turned our back on it. We've got to return to what made America great, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to switch gears to domestic in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
NATO jets may be heading to Ukraine. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken told CNN that NATO members have the go-ahead to send fighter jets to Ukraine to help the country defend itself against Russia's onslaught.
We are working with Poland as we speak to see if we can backfill anything that they provide to the Ukrainians. We very much support them, providing MiGs, Sus, planes that Ukrainians can fly.
A third round of peace talks are in the works for the combatants today. At least seven people are dead, two of them children, younger than five, after multiple tornadoes swept across central and southwest Iowa this past weekend. Six of the fatalities came from the Madison County area just southwest of Des Moines. The National Weather Service received 42 reports of tornadoes in the south central and southwest portion of the Hawkeye State. The tornadoes were worse than forecasters predicted. USA Radio News.
Have you or someone you know used heartburn medications Zantac or ranitidine and been diagnosed with cancer? Zantac and ranitidine have been positively linked to cancer. According to the FDA, Zantac and ranitidine contain NDMA, a known cancer-causing agent. NDMA has been positively linked to cancers of the bladder, pancreas, esophagus, liver, and stomach. Even in single doses and in smaller doses over time, NDMA is one of the strongest proven cancer-causing agents. Call 888-960-1233 or go to ZantacMoney.com. You may be entitled to substantial compensation without going to court if you or a loved one have taken these products in the past 10 years and been diagnosed with cancer. Call now to see if you qualify for free. Call 888-960-1233 or visit ZantacMoney.com to get what may be owed to you. You may be entitled to a cash reward. Find out now at ZantacMoney.com or call 888-960-1233 to see if you qualify for free.
The will of the Ukrainian people is something President Putin may have miscalculated before invading Ukraine.
Senator Marco Rubio says Russian President Vladimir Putin is engaged in a conflict he can't win.
He is now engaged in a conflict where he's either going to have a costly military victory followed by a costly occupation that he can't afford, or he's going to get caught in a long-term military quagmire.
Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, the Florida Republican explaining that Putin will see an economic freefall on the home front if one of two outcomes from his ongoing invasion of Ukraine happens. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A long line of semi-trucks, recreational vehicles, and cars were circling Washington, D.C. on Sunday. They're in town to protest and demand the end of all coronavirus pandemic-related restrictions by the Biden administration. The People's Convoy of around 1,000 vehicles have said they plan to drive slowly around Washington, D.C. on the already congested beltway. We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We spoke of the evils of unjust war many a time on this broadcast, so we're going to leave it for now. But I'm telling you right now, we shouldn't be turning our back on the Monroe Doctrine, and we shouldn't be embracing NATO and all these other psychotic viewpoints that really will create nothing but unjust war forevermore if we keep it up, ladies and gentlemen. There will be no extracting ourselves from it once we cross the Rubicon. And sadly, when we're over 130-plus nations, militarily speaking, it's hard for me to think we haven't already crossed that Rubicon. But prayers are for peace. Actions are to bring about peace. Following the Monroe Doctrine, returning to the principles that make America great, the Constitution, realizing that Congress has a obligation, a duty, to prevent us from getting into war, and only going to war when it's absolutely necessary. Otherwise, reining in the president, reining in really this war aggression mentality, this military-industrial complex, jettisoning any foreign entanglements that could really draft us into unjust wars, really congressional obligations and responsibilities. We got to fire all of them and replace them with those who will get out of these unjust wars, ladies and gentlemen. But I digress. Let's go back to some domestic issues that I think are just as relevant. The headline says, our last shot at creating change. Ladies and gentlemen, think about that. The last shot at creating change, they call it the People's Convoy, surrounds D.C. This is how you protest safely and get your point across without burning things down. Joe Kovacs writes the article for WorldNet Daily, WND.com. And in that article, they quote a bunch of people that are at this convoy now. They quote this one lady who basically is riding with her husband in the truck, and they're in D.C. now, but they're not really in D.C. because they're in roundabout regions, if you will, 20, 30 miles away. The convoy is so large, they say it had to break up to go to different places. What they've done is they've gone on the Beltway and gone around the Capitol in a loop, if you will. And they say that they're going to increase the amount of loops they do, adding pressure to the, I don't know what word you want to call it, to the protest here. They say they're peaceful. They don't want to cause any trouble, but they do want Congress to listen. They want to jettison the mandates and the belligerence that's going on. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe this is just a trucker protest. I don't believe it. I believe it's backed by those who mean ill for us. I don't believe that it will go well. I get the right to peacefully assemble. I understand that. But the only way they can increase pressure, in my opinion, is to violate principles that I hold dear. So they don't have the right to make it difficult for somebody in Washington, D.C. to get to work. They don't have a right to lock down the highways and the byways of the freest country on the face of the earth. They don't have the right to do these things if you're not very careful. So far, they haven't breached anything, but they will, or else they won't get their point across enough. Congress will just ignore them. We have created an elite group of people that are above us, that have secret combinations above us, and they will not give up easily, ladies and gentlemen. So I appreciate the truckers' plight, the convoy agenda. I get their right to peacefully assemble. I know they're trying to move the needle. I think there's good people involved there, but I think they will, in the end, be betrayed. I don't think this is the answer. I don't think this is the solution. Ladies and gentlemen, what you can't do is just protest, protest, protest. If you want to make a real difference, let's fire all 435 members of the House come this election cycle. Let's jettison a third of the Senate, and let's do it in state and counties across the country. Hey, all the bureaucrats that participated in any way in these lockdowns are gone. Okay, but protests just aren't going to do any good. Okay, all that Congress has to do is act like they're listening, talk with a few leaders, make some deal, send the truckers home, and they're done. I appreciate the attempt, but I think it's wrong-headed in terms of tactics. Just my two cents. Dr. Bradley, they're pitching this now literally as, listen carefully, our last shot at creating change, Doctor.
Well, I hope and pray it's not our last shot at creating change.
Amen.
It needs a much broader change to happen. If you took the time to listen to the State of the Union address that Biden put out here a week ago, and if you listened to the Republican response to that, you probably saw some very interesting things if you were thinking about it. One of which was the absolute blandness of Biden's talk. It was boilerplate drivel. He had nothing to claim as a success story, that he had only rehashed concepts that he's been pushing on that have been found to not have any traction. He has a failed administration. And I think what's dawned on the Democrats, and it should on the Republicans too, is that the approach that's been used is an absolutely rejected approach by the American people. But I think the Democrats are starting to see, miraculously, absolutely miraculously, they decided you didn't need to wear masks anymore just before the State of the Union address. I mean, the people are so done with this COVID nonsense that's been 2 years of bizarre, useless, completely worthless approach to things. It hasn't diminished, in fact, has made worse everything economically, schools, the suicide rates, the drug abuse rates, the spousal abuse rates, the businesses that have been shut down. I mean, you can go on and on and on about this kind of stuff. And it's totally worthless. This guy named Fauci has kind of fallen off the radar lately. I think he's kind of fallen out of favor as being the greatest soundbite guy that ever existed. But I think what happened was Biden and, well, his handlers, because I'm not sure if Biden's astute enough and got enough cogent concepts to come up with this. But at any rate, his speech really was a bland rehashing of some things where they've walked away from things that they know aren't going to really be able to move the needle on their behalf. They are worried about losing a huge share. In fact, certainly they'll lose their majority in the House and much of the Senate. We can only throw out a third of the senators every 2 years. But the fact of the matter is, I think they're regrouping. And if you watch the antics of the two people in back of Biden, Kamala and Nancy, you saw basically a leaderless group. I mean, Nancy's number three in line. I mean, after Kamala and after Joe, I mean, we had the three top potential leaders of the nation. If the 25th Amendment were implemented, it would be Kamala. And if she was removed for any number of reasons that would make sense, I mean, she's unqualified to hold the job. And the Democrats even recognized that back in the primaries when they were first starting to argue about who might be their candidate. And then comes Pelosi. Did you see? She was like a sixth grader waiting for their first pony ride at their, or not a sixth grader, a six-year-old waiting for their her first pony ride at a birthday party. When she was acting up there, I'm just appalled at how little leadership exists in this country right now.
There you have it. But I look at this though, and I don't see this convoy going very well, Dr. Bradley. I don't see what they can accomplish with this kind of
protest. I hope
it's
better than
what
you're saying. I pray and hope. I mean, you start thinking. I mean, when you look at Congress, shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's what they're trying to do. That's the intended purpose of this.
And by the way, I will be the first to say they have every right to do this, and I think that their cause is just. But I'm telling
you,
there
are probably,
it's going to go off the rails.
There are likelier provocateurs that are involved in this. And what I have found in these kinds of things is very likely is, as well what we've had an historical perspective on, is that the most vulnerable are the ones that snap first. They're the ones that feel like all their options are out, and there is no way other than a violent overthrow or some kind of, you know, trigger point. And Edmund Burke saw this back in 1777, where he, you know, he was an advocate for the U.S., well, you know, the American cause in Parliament, clear back in 1777. He says, people crushed by law have no hopes but from power. If law is the enemy, they will be enemies to laws. And those who have much to hope and nothing to lose will always be dangerous. And so therein is the problem, is that I think the most vulnerable will probably, if there's something that snaps, the provocateurs can take advantage of some frustration they have. But literally and truthfully, the approach that's being used, the intention of those that are there, I believe is fully within the First Amendment. But the fact of the matter is that because of, and provocateurs are all along the line. I mean, you look at the Reichstag fire from February of 1933. That provoked the Nazi regime to basically give all power to Hitler, take away all civil rights, and basically set themselves as up ultimately as an armed camp against the world. But those that are in power will try to do this. But I have seen the Democrats.
Let me ask you a question. Who speaks for the People's Convoy, ladies and gentlemen? If they get a sit-down with Congress or a sit-down with anybody to call this, make this change, who's going to be representing the, quote, People's Convoy? Do you even know? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? in churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, final segment with Dr. Bradley this hour, ladies and gentlemen. So our last shot at creating change, some are claiming. The People's Convoy surrounds D.C. now. They say this is how you protest safely and get our point across, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that's true. They say without burning things down, well, I certainly agree we don't want to burn things down, and I agree that their intentions are peaceful, and I actually think the leaders of it might be great people. All right, the U.S. version of the, quote, People's Convoy is being run by a group called Freedom Fighter Nation. Do you know what Freedom Fighter Nation is? Do you know who runs it? Do you know where they get their money? Well, you better start finding things out like that. But it's led by Lee Dundas. And Lee has been really an outspoken advocate against vaccines. She's an attorney from California. She's been on this radio program several times. I really like her. I think she's a great person. But who is Freedom Fighter Nation? And who will infiltrate this organization, as well-meaning as it might be? And who will be the one to really, if we get to sit down with, say, Joe Biden or Kamala, or maybe some leaders of Congress, or in other words, if this becomes a stalemate where Congress is ready to listen or government's ready to pay attention, okay, who's going to be the advocate? What are they going to agree to? What are they going to? And my problem is that, you know what, it reminds me a little bit of a constitutional convention. If you're not very careful, we're represented by, well, those who claim they're the Keep People's Convoy, but represented by who for what? What will their agenda really be? What will they agree to? What will the outcome be? I mean, I pray for a great outcome, but even if we get a great outcome, I think it'll be short-lived indeed, because you can't continue to add pressure, force and get your way. At what point does it become force? At what point is it more of a problem than good? Dr. Bradley, these are heavy-weighted matters, but I think it's important to ask these questions.
I agree with you. It is important, and I'm very concerned about an aspect that I believe. I always say something like an uninformed vote is more dangerous than a no vote or not casting your vote, okay? Because with an uninformed vote, you have a 50% chance of voting the wrong direction and facilitating the destruction of whatever you...
And you really have more than a 50% chance, because you have literally provocateurs and facilitators and consensus builders and everything else moving you towards something that you're not even aware of is happening. Dr. Bradley.
But here's the thing. We must educate ourselves as to the founding principles. And we must be able to have a pathway to basically restore what was there. Now, we have a well-defined pathway. All of the things that made this a nation, what made it, as I always say, the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most respected nation on earth, We can know those things, but almost nobody does. And that's because of our government indoctrination schools and our media centers and our politicians that are pandering to, you know, the democracy, if you will, that they're trying to promote. And so we need a core group of people that understand governance according to the tradition that was established when this nation was brought about. And that's far too thin right now, and we need more friends of principle instead of individuals that are reactive, that are revolutionary, if you will, in the sense that we don't want a French Revolution to happen here, where the Illuminati and all of its shills become, you know, the moving force, and it becomes a bloodbath of tyranny that ultimately results in another form of tyranny. When Napoleon stepped in, the people wanted somebody to save themselves from themselves. And so without understanding and just shuffling about, you know, moving the players on the board, we're not going to really do anything good. And sadly, I'm of the opinion that most of those that currently hold office are not qualified. And
those who are going up to negotiate this on our behalf. And let me give you the biggest reason that this convoy concerns me, the People's Convoy. You know, a lot of people are ready to praise it and applaud it. And, you know, I pray like you that it goes well. But, Dr. Bradley, if you think you're going to solve the problems in America in Washington, D.C., by temporarily going there, you are fooling yourself. You can only save the country by sincere repentance, turning to the God of all of us, our Father in heaven, his Son Jesus Christ, turning to the atonement, turning to the author of liberty. Okay, it's not going to be solved in D.C. by a temporary presence of those who are, for the most part, unknown. Okay, you're not going to solve the country's problems that way. And so, you know what, even if they have the great intentions, the greatest of intentions, that isn't the way that you fix a nation. It never has been and never will be. You ride in temporarily on your horse or your semi or wherever and think you're going to mandate change, and then the enemies of liberty are just going to cave and listen to you? It's never happened before, doctor, and I don't believe it'll happen now. So I believe that the efforts are wrong in their tactics. Going to Washington, D.C. doesn't fix anything. I could go there tomorrow. What good would it do? I'll leave in a month or leave in 2 weeks, and I'll either leave and not accomplish the task, or there'll be a confrontation that'll go wrong. All I'm telling you is this is not the way we bring back America. Am I wrong on this?
Well, the people are unknown that you're talking about there, but they're also unknowing, largely. I think that they've far too narrowly defined the challenge, the problems. I mean, you know, masks? Come on. Vaccine mandates? Come on. These are symptoms of a broken society that is run by broken people that claim to be our leaders. And if you got everybody and their dog, and again, I really think it's already moving this way right now, because the administration is saying, golly, we can't win if we keep pushing masks. Let's back them off. Let's take them off for the State of the Union address, and let's everybody across the country is doing it. And maybe the truckers will say, see, we won. But no, it's just a symptom. The broadness of the falsehoods. I mean, you look at the trillions of dollars that have been pumped into this country by printing presses, if you will, and are destroying the economy from the inside out. You look at all the trends and everything else that's going on economically. You look at our efforts to march off to war unconstitutionally. You look at issues like abortion that seems to still be, you know, a specter in the wind, if you will. You look at the redistribution of wealth so through socialistic welfare programs. It's much broader than masks and vaccines. It's epidemic. It is truly an epidemic.
And it's much broader than going down to your school board and protesting because they're teaching communist principles in the compulsory education system that Republicans swore to abolish for literally decades. Okay, this is what I mean. Going to your school board and being called a terrorist is not going to help you, ladies and gentlemen, unless you change the fundamentals of what's going on. Let me give you a final story before the end of the hour that I think kind of typifies the wrongheadedness of my point. Headline says this. The so long offering plate. Yeah, so long offering plate. Hello, online cryptocurrency giving. Churches find new ways to receive donations. Article written by a guy by the name of Craig Harris. Yeah, believe it or not, the digital giving, if you will, the crypto giving became more mainstream during the COVID pandemic. Church leaders simply say they're making it easier for the youngsters who are crypto rich to go ahead and donate to the church. Yeah, we're just trying to keep up with the people. Yeah. We want to be accommodating. Cryptocurrency is becoming more popular, and churches want to get a piece of it. Dr. Bradley, your thoughts?
Holy cow. I mean, where do we go with this? Do we talk about the risks of cryptocurrency and how they're...
In my mind, we talk about the churches being on the take here. They're not really even interested in the humble, local, you know, support of the church now. They're hoping to get big cash from cryptocurrency givers, if you will. Okay?
Well,
they're all moving to cryptocurrency. It's really akin to gambling in this world. It's chasing the... There's gold in them hills, doctor.
Well, that's a big part of the problem, is that so much of what happens in the name of religion is simply an economic decision. Follow the money. We call it priestcraft, and it isn't just in religions. It's in business. It's in the economics of the universities and everything else, where they seek for popularity and they seek to feather their own nest. And sadly, this is probably another manifestation of it. I mean, if religions are in it for the money and for the benefit, oh, yeah, we got to have money to send missionaries or build buildings or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, the humble followers of Christ in the beginning worlds, I mean, think of the fishermen, Peter and his brethren that led the church. Think of the Savior walking the dusty paths of Palestine. And you have such a contrast to some of the mega churches and the economic powerhouses that have developed in his name. And by the way, the founding fathers had a lot of grief with that. I mean, if you've read the letters between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson towards the end of their lives, they were very concerned with what religions had done in the name of the Savior. George Washington was concerned about it. These kinds of things, I think, they're almost a precursor to the failure of religion, at least these big mega religions, and certainly a nation that has put their trust in economics rather than eternal principles. So yeah, it's a big concern, and to tell you the truth, I don't have any cryptocurrencies to donate to anybody. And I would like to serve my Savior in any way he'd want. But it's something that, sadly, many religions are seeing an opportunity to make. It's not a buck anymore. It's whatever they call the currency. But by the way, I see economic things happening, and this is a little transition back to what we started with, this thing that Russia and China are involved in, and the credit cards that China is putting out. It'll strengthen those, for example, at the weakening of MasterCard and Visa and so on. All of this economic stuff seems to drive so much of what's going on, and it's just tragic that religions get involved.
Well, and you
got
to ask the question, if these religious groups start to take money from cryptocurrencies, pretty soon you don't really know where your money's coming from at all. Remember, these transactions are supposed to be... Yeah, or where it's going. Good point. And so you kind of get this scenario where, wow, man, you can just control things without any accountability. The churches will be beholden to groups they know not. To me, this is disaster on steroids for the church if we're not very, very careful indeed.
Well, many churches, it seems to me, are involved in a beauty contest as to who's going to be the Church of the New World Order. And they seem to be fostering and encouraging some kind of coziness with the global powers. And it's just a... We're looking to the wrong places for saviors and the wrong altar to worship at. We've got to be very, very careful. The churches do, as well as the people that are parts of those churches.
Amen to that reality check. Sadly, we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very weighty topics indeed on your radio. Pray for peace. Do your very best to understand the principles. Advocate for, belief in, and allegiance to even Jesus Christ, the author of our lives and our liberty. Thanks so much, Dr. Bradley. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, FreedomsRisingSun.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.